All right, Jabal, say good morning.
A good night, a piskatava, a good kvittel. So let's begin. We have a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Daf Pei Zayin 87. We are picking up the last line on Pei Vav Amud Beis, 86B. So remember again, the Mishnah introduced us to the concept of Zakin Mamre, who is the rebellious sage, the individual again who has a machlokis, a local machlokis in halacha. That local machlokis is unresolved. They kick it up the halachic chain until ultimately again they get to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. And in the event, and then the Sanhedrin HaGadol rules, if the Zakin Mamre still insists on going ahead and paskening in accordance with his opinion, he becomes a Zakin Mamre, ultimately again punishable by death, and we'll discuss that he's punished in a greater depth. So the Gemara now is going to continue to create the framework in which the Zakin Mamre exists. It says the Gemara Tan Rabbanon, Ki Pali Mimcha Davar. So we'll say the Gemara's, today's daf is pretty much going to be exclusively focused on one pasuk. The pasuk is ki pali mimcha davar, when something will go ahead and literally, ki pali mimcha davar means there'll be a matter of halacha that you will not know the answer to. So la mishpat bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein nega lenega, divrei rivos b'sharecha, v'kamta v'alisa l'makom ha'sheishar ha'sheib chalashem l'kecha bo. So the pasuk discusses the idea that when you will have some machlokes, some discussion, some machlokes in halacha, and you will not know how to resolve it, so you'll go up to the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen, which is a reference to the Sanhedrin. So the Gemara is going to understand this pasuk as ultimately framing the episode of Zakin Mamre. So it says the Gemara, Rabban, the Ki Pali Mimcha Davar, top of Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, B'Muflash Shebevezin HaKasim Medabra. So mostly, just so you understand, we're talking about over here, as we spoke about in the end of yesterday's daf, you can only become a Zakin Mamre if you are a Mumcha Shebevezin, or B'Muflash Shebevezin, someone who is not just a Talmud Chacham, but someone who is a Posek, someone who is just what we call a Talmud, a Talmud Chacham. It's very nice that you can't become a Zakin Mamre if you are just a Talmud Chacham. So Mimcha, both when the pasuk says Mimcha, Ze Yoetz. This refers to someone who is a Baki, someone who is well versed in the laws of Iber Shana, Iber Yar, the intercalation of the year. So we'll say the idea over here at the Gemara's framing is not anyone could become Uncle Mike. Are you punished? Are you in timeout over there? What happened? There's no.
But I'm a sloppy eater.
You're a sloppy eater. Okay, good. Stay there. Good. So the idea over here says the Gemara is in order to be a Zakin Mamre, so you have to go ahead and be someone who is not just a Talmud Chacham, but someone Mimcha who is even well versed in the ability to declare a leap year. Which I will say, based on our Limudim in Rosh Hashanah, we know is a very specific science. Because I'll just take a moment here just to thank our sponsors of this morning's breakfast, to thank Gil Horowitz and Svi Wilner for sponsoring the breakfast this morning, and to give a very special thank you to Saeed and to Uncle Mike. Each and every morning over Yom Tov, we've had the schus to have a beautiful breakfast, and it's because I came in this morning at 6:10, and Saeed's in the kitchen cutting up vegetables, and Uncle Mike is running in and out of davening to be able to set up the breakfast. So thank you both very much. Shkoyach. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, "Avichinu Omer Mimcha." Is there any other sponsorship still open? Tomorrow we're going to have something in the sukkah because it's the last day of sitting in the sukkah. So, Meretz Hashem, you'll see Said if you'd like to sponsor the Shemini Atzeres spread. So, says the Gemara the following. V'cheinu omer mimcha, so I'm sorry. The mimcha yetzei choshev al Hashem ra'a yoitz b'liyal. Davar. So we'll say, what does davar refer to? Zu halacha. This refers to the fact that the individual must be well versed in halacha l'moshe misinai. L'mishpat zehadin. We'll say, what does Mishpat refer to? Mishpat refers to Din. We'll say now, Din in this context ultimately means Gzeirah Shava, that a person is well versed in the laws of Gzeirah Shavas. Bein Dam Lidam, Bein, so the Gemara, what does it mean that he knows how to distinguish between one blood and another blood? Good. Anyone else want to move chairs before I go on? Good. Bein Dam Lidam. Beindam ledam, so the Gemara says, Beindam nida ledam leida, ledam ziva. So we'll say someone who's able to distinguish between the blood of nida, the blood of childbirth, and the blood of ziva. So we'll remember again, each of these bloods have distinct halachos associated with them. Bein din ledin, he knows how to distinguish between din ledin. Bein dine nefashas, dine mamonas. So what we're also going to see is what the Gemara is doing over here is two things. Number one, defining the parameters of who could become a Zakin Mamre. Because again, as you begin to see over here, you have to be really an exceptional individual to become a Zakin Mamre, which also makes sense. A Zakin Mamre is like it's the paradigm of what we'll call rabbinic failure. It's someone who is so bright, someone who is so capable, someone who is so able, but misuses his kochos in such a destructive way. So it makes sense that in order to be able to create such havoc, you have to be so great. It's almost like, you know, the Maharal brings down, Rav Kook actually brings down this yisod, that's when the Torah speaks about the fighting of Yaakov and Esav in utero. Right? The pasuk says, "Vayisrotesu abonim bikirbo." So Rav Kook says that Yaakov is the paradigm of good, Esav is the paradigm of evil. Good and evil can't occupy the same space, so they're constantly fighting. But the idea is that an Esav could only be a twin with a Yaakov. To be able to have such a koach of ra, you have to have the capacity for such koach of tov as well. So we'll say, so there we're defining who is the Zakin Mamre, but what we're also doing, Rabbi Osai, is also talking about what are the types of subject matters, what are the type of topics where there would be a machlokes that would be unresolvable on a local level that would have to be brought up to Yerushalayim. So he goes on. So he must beidin ladin, bein dinei nefashos, bein dinei nefashos, dinei mamonos, dinei makos. The ability to distinguish between capital cases, monetary cases, and cases which result in malchus, bein nega le nega. What's the difference between nega and nega? Gil, shikoyach for the breakfast. So the Gemara says, "Bein nige adam, nige batim, nige begadim." The ability to distinguish also between, again, nigoim, afflictions on the person, affliction on the home, affliction on clothing. Divrei, elu acharamim va'erchin va'akdir. So we're going to describe in greater detail all of these things. So we'll say, when it says divrei, this refers to acharamim erchin hekdesho. So we'll say these are different types of vows that ultimately consecrate things to the Beis Hamikdash. Rivos. What does it mean when it matters of rivos, matters of fighting? Zuashkas, sota, this refers to sota situations. Arifas, egla, bosa, egla, arufa, which is when you find the corpse between two cities and you're not sure, again, where the murderer came from. You measure out the closest city. Vitaras, mitzora, and purification, ultimately, again, of Ritzora. So Rashi points out how these things are alluded to in Rivos. We're not going to get into it now. Bisha'arecha, matters within your own sharm, within your own gates. Zu, leket, shichacha, upeya. We'll say this refers to matters of leket, shichacha, and peya. Remember again, leket, shichacha, refers to forgetting stalks or bundles. Peya refers to leaving the corner in your field. The kamta, so we'll say the pasuk says, if you can't answer these questions on local levels, the kamta va'alisa la'makum, you'll go up to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, the kamta mi beizdin, you'll get out from your local beizdin, va'alisa, and you will ascend to Yerushalayim. Melamed, shebeis HaMikdash gavah me'eretz Yisrael, ve'eretz gavah, ve'eretz Yisrael gavah mikol ha'aretz. We'll say, we learn from here that the Beis HaMikdash is the highest point in Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is higher than all of the other lands. So the Gemara says, Ela Makom, Milameit Sha Makom Goring. Rabbi says, so Ela Makom, you have to go to the place. This teaches us that the place is important. In other words, Rabbi says, we will see. We actually already learned this. The Sanhedrin HaGadol could only paskin on certain matters, specifically capital cases, only if they are situated in the Lishkas HaGazis, the chamber of hewn stone in the Beis HaMikdash. If they are not situated in that place, even though it's the same august rabbinic body, they cannot paskin on capital cases. I will say the Gemara says something very beautiful. Bishlam Beis HaMikdash Gavah Meretz Yisrael. So I understand that the Beis HaMikdash is the tallest point in Eretz Yisrael. Dichsev Va'alisa, because the Pasuk used lashon of ascension, right, by Ola Regel. You have to be Ola Regel, you have to go up. Ela Eretz Yisrael Gavah Mikol Ha'aretz Minalei. But I will say, from where do we know that Eretz Yisrael is the highest point of all the lands? So the Gemara says, Dichsev, because the Pasuk says, Lochein, Hine yomim ba'im nu'um Hashem. Because we'll say the Gemara over here quotes the pasuk from Yirmiyo, and the Rabbi Yirmiyo says, and the day will come, lo ye'amar chay Hashem asher ha'elos b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Yitzrayim. We will no longer refer to God as the one who took us out of Egypt. Ki im chay Hashem asher ha'elo v'asher hevi es zera b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Tzafona u'mikol ha'aratzos asher hidachtim sham. But rather, again, we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the God who has gathered us from all of the lands of our dispersions, from the northern lands, from all the lands in which we were dispersed, the Yeshvu al Admasam, and we will come back to our lands. So we'll say, you see over here, how does the pasuk refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He is the God who will bring us up to Eretz Yisrael. So you see from here, the Navi is referring over here to the Jew in Galus, and describing over here that even when the Jew is in Galus, so when he comes back to Eretz Yisrael, that is considered an ascent. We ascend to Eretz Yisrael. From here you see that Eretz Yisrael is the highest of all of the lands. Fine. Ten Rabbanan. So we'll say the Gemara goes like, you know, I mentioned this last night in the Sukkah, you know, that the Svarim bring down that the Sukkah has a din of Eretz Yisrael. that when you come into the sukkah, like Sasama's quotes, the idea that there are only two mitzvos that you do with your entire body. One of them is sukkah, the other is the mitzvah of yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. And as Sasama's quotes this, Rabbi Nachman quotes this, this idea that when you come into the sukkah, you come into Eretz Yisrael. So also, so every single time, ultimately, again, a person is zochet to come into this beautiful structure, person is zochet to be ole regel. That's why, again, you know, the Chassam Sofer used to dafka daven in his sukkah as well. He would dafka be makpid to daven in his sukkah. This idea, because the sukkah is kedusha Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, again, when a person doesn't just eat in Eretz Yisrael, but a person has to daven in Eretz Yisrael, that's great schos as well. Tan Rabbanon, zakin mamre, eino chayiv ela al davar shes dono kare. So v'shig gaso chata. So we'll say the Gemara goes weiter. Now back to zakin mamre. So zakin mamre, we'll say, so now the Brisa is going to discuss what type, meaning, so now we discuss the parameters of who could become a zakin mamre, and we've even, now we're going to begin to discuss what type of disputes are we talking about that would make a person a zakin mamre. So zakin mamre inu chayiv ela abdavar shezadon okaris v'shigagas ochatasi remeir. Meir says, a zakin mamre is only chayiv, Rabbo saying, if he paskins regarding a matter whose accidental, as accidental violation would carry with it a chatos, an intentional violation would carry with it a chiyuv kares. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, al davar sheikara mitivrei Torah, upirosh mitivrei sofrim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, a person only becomes a zakin mamre if he disagrees with Rabbi in a matter that is biblically based, but is interpreted by the sages, by the chachamim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu diktuk echa midiktukei sofrim. And Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi say that even if the zakin mamre argues about a matter of rabbinic law, right, and he stands his ground, meaning even after the Beis Din HaGadol says Zakin Mamre, you're wrong, but the Zakin Mamre still goes back to his town, he continues to paskin halacha in accordance with his own opinion. Rabbi say that makes you a Zakin Mamre. So my time to Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi say, what is Rabbi Meir getting? Just remember again, Rabbi Meir holds that you only become a Zakin Mamre regarding a matter whose intentional violation would carry a chiyuv kares. An unintentional violation would carry a chiyuv chatos. Where does Rabbi Meir get this from? So Gemara says, "Gamar davar davar, make gzer shava ksiv hacha ki palim chal davar lemishpat." Says over here, "Ki palim chal davar lemishpat uksiv hasam v'ne'elam davar me'ini akal." So we'll say this is talking about where the Sanhedrin issues an erroneous ruling, and as a result, people violate an avera that had it been done intentionally would be a chiyuv kares. Ma lahalon, both say second wide line. Ma lahalon davar shechayv al zdonah kares ashig gaso chatos. Both say just like by the par he'elam davar minatzivor. So again, we're talking about something which, if done intentionally, carries a chiyuv kares. Unintentionally, carries with it a chiyuv chatos. So the Gemara says afkan davar shechayv al zdonah kares ashig gaso chatos. So this is Rabbi Meir. A zakin mamre only becomes a zakin mamre if what? If he paskins regarding a matter whose intentional violation is a chiyuv kares, an unintentional violation carries with it a chiyuv chatos. I, where does Rabbi Huda say, pei zayin amad aleph, third wide line, where does Rabbi Huda get a sheet? Rabbi says, remember, Rabbi Huda says that it has to be something that is biblically based, but is interpreted by the Chachamim. Where does Rabbi Huda get this from? Rabbi Huda, apiatora asher yorucha. Rabbi Huda says, it's based on the pasuk, based on the Torah that they will instruct you. Adi'ika Torah, V'yorucha. He's only becomes a Zaki Mamre, say, if the element of halacha satisfies these two criteria. Torah, which means it's biblically based, and Yorucha, which means the Rabbanan give me instructions. But Rabbi Shimon will say, Asher yagid lecha min ha-makom. Rabbi Shimon who says that you can become a Zaki Mamre even for the smallest things. See, he will say, even for rabbinic matters, Asher yagid lecha min ha-makom ahu afilu kolduhu. Anything that the rabbis tell you, even the smallest detail, Rabbi will say, if the Zakin Mamre stands his ground and refuses to yield to the majority, he can become a Zakin Mamre. So we'll say, watch this. I'm going to bar chinina, the Rava. So we'll say, this exchange now is going to take us through the rest of the daf. So Rav Huna bar chinina said to Rava, Tirgami li lahamas nisa li bid Rabbi Meir. So Rav Huna bar chinina said to Rava, interpret for me the following braisa in accordance with the Shita of Rabbi Meir. So we'll say again, remember, what did Rabbi Meir say? Rabbi Meir said, Rabbi say, you become a Zakin Mamre when? When? If you disagree regarding a matter whose intentional violation is a Chiyuv Kares, an unintentional violation will be a Chiyuv Chatos. So Rav Huna bar Chinina says to Rava, we're about to quote a Braisa, I want you to interpret the Braisa for me in accordance with the position of Rabbi Meir. So Rav Huna, listen to this. So the Gemara says, Amar le Rava, the Rav Papa, Puk Tirgamot Le. So we'll say, so Rava said to Rav Papa, so he's outsourcing it. No, you go and interpret the Braisa in accordance with Rabbi Meir. So we'll say, watch this. Now what we're going to do is we're going to take the Braisa that essentially we read before, that we learned before, and we're going to interpret it in accordance with the position of Rabbi Meir, who holds that you could only become a Zakin Mamre if the Zakin Mamre holds his ground regarding an issue. It's okay, it's going to hold, the weather's going to hold out. Regarding an issue, ultimately, again, whose intentional violation is a Chi of Kares, and unintentional violation is a Chi of Chata. So we'll say, watch this. So we're going to go through the Braisa again. So what did the Braisa say before? So we'll say, remember again, in order to become a Zakin Mamre, you have to be a Mufla Sheba Beisdin. You have to be someone ultimately who what? Who is not just a Talmud Chacham, but who is capable of Psak Halacha, capable of being a Posek. Mimcha Ze Yoitz. Sheodela Abir Shanim V'Lekva Chadash. Furthermore, again, the Zakin Mamre can't just be a Posek, but he has to be the kind of person who is proficient in intercalation of the years, leap months. It's supposed to, again, as we already established before, is a very, very, very highly specified area of study. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, Kidisnan, Hein he'idu shema'av mesashan l'kal adar shayu omrim adapurim. Supposed to listen to this. So why is this important? Because one of the things in which a Zakin Mamre could have a machlokes with his other fellow co-dayonim with is about the intercalation of the years. Now, both say now what the Gemara is going to point out now is that a machlokes about, or a leap year, I should say, a machlokes about a leap year could result in a potential chi of kares. How so? Both say, watch this. Hein he'idu shema'ar mesashana kol adar. So we'll say, they testified that you could go in and declare a leap year throughout the entire Adar, shayo omrim adapurim. So we'll say, remember again, there's a fundamental machlokes. We saw this before. How long do you have? What's the window for intercalation of the new year? So there was a certain school of thought that said, you only have up until Purim. Others said, no, you could do it through the entire month of Adar. Now, both said, now what's at stake over here? The ilahai gisa kashari chametz pesach. The ilahai gisa shari kashari chametz pesach. So, also listen to this. Now, no matter how you come out on that machlokes, if you're that you could declare a leap year again up until Purim or even through Purim, the stakes are very high. Why, Rabosai? Because that will determine what when Pesach falls out. And so, potentially, if you're wrong, what are you doing? If you're wrong, you're technically permitting the consumption of chametz on Pesach. So this is an example, Rabosai, of what? Of a type of machlokes, where if done intentionally, intentional violation brings a chi of kares, unintentional violation brings a chi of chatos. Davar, sorry? Karban Pesach also. But not bringing Karban Pesach is not a chi of kares. Davar, so we'll say, what does Davar refer to? Zu halacha. We'll say, this refers to proficiencies in halachos l'moshe misinai. So we'll say, what's an example of halacha l'moshe misinai, where intentional violation can bring a chi of kares? Unintentional violation is a chi of chatos. So watch this. Davar, so the Gemara says, zu halacha, zehulchos achadasar. Now we'll say, now we're not going to get into all to the technicalities over here, but suffice it to say the following. The halacha is that when a woman has her normal menstrual cycle, she becomes a nida. So the Gemara understands that the 11 days between nida cycles, if a woman bleeds during this time, she becomes a zava. Bleeding for 3 consecutive days makes you into a zava gedola. Becoming a zava gedola requires what? The observance of Shiva Nikiyim. So we'll say the Gemara is the following machlokas. So zu halachos, achadasar de itmar. So we'll say this is the first halacha l'moshe misinai of the 11 days. So we'll say, where did the 11 days come from that if woman bleeds during 11 days, she becomes a zava? That's halacha l'moshe misinai de itmar. So we'll say, asiri, what happens if a woman bleeds on the 10th day? And it continues forward. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, asiri kitashi. Rabbi Yochanan says, bleeding on the 10th day is the equivalent of bleeding on the 9th day. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar, asiri kachadasar. And Rish Lakish says, no, bleeding on the 10th day is like bleeding on the 11th day. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asiri Kitashi. So Rabbi Yochanan says, what does it mean that bleeding on the 10th day is like the 9th day? Matishi by Shimur. So we'll say, just like again, if she bleeds on the 9th day, it requires Shimur. But it requires Shimur means that she has to be vigilant. Because if she bleeds days 9, 10, and 11, then what? She's a Zava Gedola. If she has a Zava Gedola, then she requires Shiva Nikiyim. Afasiri boishim, or so to Rabbi say, if she begins to bleed on the 10th day, she must also be vigilant. So Rabbi Shlagish Amar Asiri Kachadasar, Rabbi Shlagish says that the 10th day is like the 11th day. Ma'achadasar lo boishim, or so we'll say, if she begins to bleed on the 11th day, then there's no possibility of becoming a Zava Gidola. Why, Rabbi say? Because 11th day 11 is the last day of the Zava Gidola window. Afasiri lo boishim, or so too, even if she begins bleeding on the 10th day, she doesn't require vigilance as well. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi say, this is an example of a halacha l'moshe Sinai, which again could potentially result in, if intentional violation kares, unintentional violation chatos. Next, mishpat zeadin. So we'll say, what does mishpat refer to? Proficiency in gzeres shavas. And we'll say, what's an example of gzeres shavas? Amud beis. So din bita me anasuso. So Rabbi Yossi, again, an example of a din, ultimately of a gzeres shava, Rabbi Yossi, which would be, we actually learn this, of the fact that we learn not from a gzeres shava, that one's daughter from a woman whom he violated is still usher to him as a daughter. I would have thought that the prohibition of a father to his daughter is only from a daughter born of a permitted union, but a daughter born of a prohibited union should not be asura to her father. We learn that from Gzeira Shava that ultimately, again, she is asura zo. So we'll say another example. If a man purposely had relations with his daughter, be a chiyiv karis, unintentional relations with her ultimately becomes what the chiyiv chatos, the amar rava, amar rabbi yitzchak bar abdumi, asya heina heina, asya zima zima. Remember, we had this double Gzeira Shava of zima zima heina heina, bein dam lidam. So we'll say when the pasuk said you have to be able to distinguish between different bloods, bein dam nida, dam leida, dam ziva. The ability to distinguish between menstrual blood, birth blood, and zivos blood. Dam nida, so when it comes to dam nida, so v'plukta akavya b'mehalalel v'rabbanon, we're referring dafka to the case of the machlogis in akavya b'mehalalel v'rabbanon. What's the case? Disnan, dam hayorak. The boss is an actually interesting case. Yorak in this context means yellow. The boss says, you know, Rashi points this out, that there is no, in Hebrew, there is no specific word for green and yellow. Yorok is used interchangeably for both, and is usually a modifier on the end that helps us understand which particular color we're talking about. So, dama yorok, so I'll say, if you have yellow blood, what's the status of yellow blood in terms of dam nidos? So, kavi b'mahalalo metame, kavi mahalo says it's tame, the Chachamim say that it's terrible. So just so you should know, we pass like the Chachamim. Therefore, again, any type of yellow discharge by a woman who's a Nida is going to be Tehora. So the Gemara goes weiter. So again, these are just examples of Machloksim, where if there is intentional violation, it could carry with it a Chiyiv Kares. Unintentional violation could carry with it what? A Chiyiv Chatos. Dam Leida. We'll say, what's the case of Dam Leida? But plug to the Rav Levi. We'll say, it's Machlokis Rav Levi. Now, we'll say, this is actually fascinating. The Itmar, Rav Amar Mayon Echadu. Rav says, Rabosai, that literally it means a woman bleeds from one spring. HaTorah Timaso v'HaTorah Metaraso. Torah says sometimes that blood is Tameh, and sometimes that blood is Tahor. But Levi Amar, Levi says, it's just the Satan. It's the Satan. But Levi Amar, Shnei Ma'ayonos Hein. Levi says, ultimately, again, it's two Ma'ayonos. It's two different springs. Hein Nistam HaTameh, Sigmar says, Nistam HaTameh Niftach HaTorah. Now, I will say, now the interesting question over here is the following. What they're trying to understand, Rabbi Yossi, is we know that we don't have this concept anymore, because for our purposes, we've kind of morphed the halakos of Nida, Zivos, and Leida into one. But on a technical level, there are times in which a woman bleeds, in which that blood is Tameh, time in which a woman bleeds, and that blood is Tahar. So Rabbi Yossi, this fundamental machlokes between Rav and Levi over here, about what's the nature of those bloods. Rav says it all comes from one spring, one place, there are time, and therefore, again, it's the same blood. It's just sometimes the Torah says that that blood is Tameh, sometimes the Torah says that that blood is Tahor. So, Levi on the other, that's Rav. Levi on the other hand says, no, there are two, quote-unquote, different sources of blood. There is a pure source and there's an impure source. Now, Rashi Rabosei points out over here, what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina Rabosei is, what happens if a woman continuously bleeds from a period of time in which the blood is Tameh to a period of time in which the blood is Tahor. So Rabosei, so according to Rav, who says that it's all one spring, so even if there's no stoppage in the bleeding, the same blood that was Tameh could be now become Tahor. According to Levi, who says it's from two different sources, in order for the blood ultimately to become tar, there must be a cessation or a stoppage of the bleeding. Again, I will say, all the Gemara is bringing down are examples of ultimately where what? ultimately where you can have a machlokes. You can have a machlokes that is intentional violation is kares, unintentional violation is a chatos, and this, remember, is all Rabbi Meir's interpretation of the Zakin Mamre case. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Torah. No, there's no change in colors in these cases. It's the same exact blood, same color, same everything. Just according to Rav, ultimately, again, the Torah says, at some time it's Tame, at some times it's Tar. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, so Ziva, Dam Ziva, I will say, what's the case of Ziva? This is the Machlokes of Rabbi Yoshua. I will say, what's the Machlokes? This nan, Kishtash lo shiyamim besoch achadasayam. So we'll say, listen to this. Let's say a woman is in the middle of the 11 days of Zivos. I will say kishta means she goes into active labor. So she goes, and I will say, now this, again, I'm not doing justice to the technicalities of these laws, but the Gemara talks about the possibility of what is called ayoledes bezav, or bezivos, where a woman gives birth, and she gives birth, ultimately, again, she becomes a zava gidola. So kishta shloshe yamim, so we'll say if a woman was in active labor during three consecutive days, besoch achad asar yom, within the 11 days of Zivos. Im shaf same isla is v'yalda, see if she stopped, and we're going to discuss what stop means in just a moment, if it subsided, me isla is for 24 hours, and then she gives birth, hare ze yoladez bezov. This is considered to be a case of a woman who's yoladez bezov. Div Rebbe Lazar, these words Rebbe Lazar, b'shua omer, layla v'yom, kelele Shabbos. Kilele Shabbos. So ultimately, again, Rabbi Yoshua says, you just need a night and a day like a Shabbos. And when we say that she stopped, we'll say it means that she stopped for a day from pain, but lav dafka from bleeding. So we'll say, again, all we're trying to show are different examples of machloksim that occur between the Zakin Mamre and his fellow members of the Beis Din, where intentional violation of these halachos would be a chiyuv of kares, and unintentional violation ultimately again would be a chiyuv chatos. Next, bein din ledin, between one din and the next, bein dinei mamonas ledinei nefashos. And we'll say this refers to dinei mamonas to dinei nefashos. So we'll say, remember again, between capital case or monetary cases and capital cases, dinei makas, and between halachos, or between, I should say, prohibitions which result in lashes. So dinei mamonas, so we'll say, what's the case of dinei mamonas? B'plug tradition of Rabbi Abba'u. This is the machlokes between Shmuel and Rabbi Abba. It's the machlokes of Bosai. Domer Shmuel. Shmuel says, Shnayim Shadanu Dinehan Din. We'll say if you have two people who went ahead and adjudicated the case, two Dayonim who adjudicated the case, Dinehan Din. We'll say, now obviously, we know that a Beis Din is comprised of three people, but if you have a case where two people decided to adjudicate the Din themselves, so Dinehan Din, their adjudication, their Psak Halacha, is correct, Elo Shinikraim Beis Din Chosuf. But I will say they're called Chutzpedik. They're called the Chutzpedik Beis Din. So meaning the ruling stands, but they're called the Chutzpedik Beis Din. Rabbi Abba says, L'divri akol ein dinehen din. And Rabbi Abba says, no, if two people adjudicated a din, Abba says, then what? Halacha l'maisa, whatever they paskin, does not stand. What's the case of dinei nefashos? V'plukta d'rebi v'rabbanon. This is machlokes from the Rabbanon. This is Sanyo, because we learned, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehyeh B'dvaro. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Omer, v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh. The pasuk says, you will give one life for another life. Rabbi says, mamonata Omer. So Rabbi says, this refers to monetary compensation, not actually taking a life. Oh, eino ela nefesh mamish. Or maybe you're going to say, no, it actually refers to a life. Ne'emar nesina lamalo, v'ne'emar nesina lamato. Rabbi will say, it says nesina above, and it says nesina below. So we'll say nesina above v'imason yihyeh v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh. So it's referring to the case where two men are fighting, and they end up hitting a pregnant woman and she miscarries. So the pasuk says v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh. So just like in that case, we know that it means mamon, that it means money. So ne'emar nesina lamalo v'ne'emar nesina lamato. Just as by the case where the individuals make the woman miscarry. So ultimately, again, it's a financial penalty. Afkan mamon. So to the Rebbe, in the pasuk says, v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh. Rebbe said that also refers to what? Monetary compensation. Dine Makas. I will say, what's the case of Makas? So the Gemara says, Beplugta Rabbi Yishon v'Rabbanon. That refers to Machlokes and Rabbi Yishon v'Rabbanon. What's the Machlokes? I will say, Disnan Makos b'Gimel. I will say, in order to go ahead and give lashes to someone, you need a Beis Din of three. Mishum Rabbi Yishon or Bechavkim. I will say, remember we had this in the beginning of Sanhedrin. How many people have to be on a Beis Din for Malkas? So I will say, so Rabbi says three. Rabbi says, Makos b'Gimel, I'm sorry, the Rabbanon say three, Rabbi Yishon says 23. Fine. Be nega le nega. I will say, what's the case again? We have a machlokis about a nega, about tzaras. Be nige adam, nige batim, nige begodim. I will say, ultimately, again, there's a distinction between negoim. Negoim, I will say, it's refers to nige tzaras that you see on a person, on a home, or on clothing. Nige adam, and also when it comes to nige adam, we put the Rabbi Shavu Rabbanon. This refers to machlokis in Rabbi Shavu Rabbanon, this nan, in baheres kodim leseir halavan, tame. We'll say the halach is if the baharis. So baharis is one of the tzara, is one of the discolorations. If the baharis comes before, again, the white hair on the body, then ultimately, again, the person is tameh. Imser, first white line, imser lavan kadam la baharis. However, again, if the white hair comes before the baharis, then tahor. Then we'll say the person is tar, safek. What happens if you're not sure which came first, the baharis or the white hair? Rabbi so the Gemara says, safek, tameh. If you're not sure, then I'll say again, there'll be a Safek Dorais. And Safek Dorais says, L'chumra. Rabbi Yeshua says, Keha. Rabbi Yeshua says, if it becomes faint, if it becomes light. So what does that mean? My Keha. Amarava Kehatar. So Rabbi Yeshua says, ultimately, again, I'll say that if it became a little bit lighter, then ultimately, again, the Nega will become Tahar. Nige Batin. I'll say, what about if there are Negoim on the home? So what's Machlokis? It's Beplugta de Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Verabbanon. We'll say this refers to the Machlokis in Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and the Rabbanon. What's the Machlokis? This Nan, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon Omer, the Olam in Abayis, Tomei at Shira, Kishne Grisin, Ashne Avonim, Bishnik, Solom, Bikarin, Zavis. So we'll say, so this is actually very interesting. So Rabbi Shimon says that the only time a home becomes Tomei with Tumas Saras, we'll say, is if it satisfies all of these criteria. Two Grisin, we'll say, that's the size of the Baharis. The Baharis has to have a size of two Grisin. Al Shte Avonim, and the two Grisin appear, again, we'll say, on two stones, Bishnik, Solom. The two stones are on two walls. Bekeren Zavis, but the two stones on two walls meet where? Meet in a corner together. So the Gemara says, Arko Kishne, I'm sorry, Shnei B'Shnei Kisalim, Bekeren Zavis. Arko Kishne Grisin, the length of the blemish, length of the discoloration, I should say, has to be the size of two Grisin. Berach Boki Gris, but its width is one Gris. So we'll say, what's the Pshat? My time with Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. What's Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's logic? Ksiv, Kir uksiv kiros, because it was when the Torah speaks about nige batim, it speaks about a kir, a wall, and it speaks about kiros plural. Ezuhu kir shehu kikiros. So we'll say, what's the example of one wall that's like two? Have omer ze keren zobis. And we'll say, I would say this refers ultimately again to a corner. Only a corner, we'll say, satisfies the criteria of one wall, which is two. Let's just go a little bit back there, then we'll stop. Nige begadim. So we'll say, what's the case of nige begadim? Beplugta de Rabbi Yonatan ben Aftulumus v'Rabbanon. And we'll say this ultimately again refers to the machlokes between Rabbi Yonatan ben Aftulumus and the Rabbanon. This nan, Rabbi Yonatan ben Aftulumus omer minayin, we'll say, top of peches. L'mayim b'pricham b'gadim shi'i t'ora. The Bible says, from where do we know? Look at Rashi just a moment. Tap Rashi, pay chesam adalav. L'pricham b'gadim. In paruach tifrach hatzaras v'nismali kol abegin. The Bible says, how do I know that if the entire garment became filled with tzaras, how do I know that the garment is tar? Right? From where do I know that the garment is tar? So the Gemara says, ne'emra karachas v'gabachas ba'adam. So we'll say, use lashon of karachas and gabachas. These are different types of tzaras by a person. V'ne'emra karachas v'gabachas v'begadim. And it's karachas and gabachas by clothing. Ma lahalon paroch bekulotar. We'll say, just like by a person himself. If the tzaras covers his entire body, he becomes tahor. Afkan paroch bekulotar. Ultimately, again, Rabbi Osai, If tzara'as breaks out over the entire body, it also becomes tahar. So we'll stop over here for today. But again, understand what we're stopping in the middle of. So what we have over here for today is the following. We've now defined the scope of ultimately, again, who could become a zakin mamre. And obviously, again, the zakin mamre, again, as we saw in the beginning of the drasha of the pasuk, can't see someone who's mufla. Can't just be anyone. Has to mamish be an outstanding Talmud Chacham, someone who's a mufla bebezin, someone who's had the intercalation of the years, someone who could hold his own in all of these halachic discussions. We also saw the three machlokis about what dispute causes someone to be a zakin mamre. According to Rabbi Meir, it has to be regarding something where intentional violation carries a chiyuv kares. Unintentional violation carries a chiyuv chatos. We saw Rabbi Huda who says that has to be something ikara min haTorah, biblically based, but rabbinically interpreted. And Rabbi Shimon who said it could be about anything, even the most minute detail of rabbinic law. What we have been doing, we're not yet finished, in this brisa is we've been interpreting all of these cases in accordance with Rabbi Meir, trying to create cases where intentional violation would be a chiyuv kares, unintentional violation would be a chiyuv chatos. We will, Amir Hashem, continue with this a little bit more tomorrow. But I'll just share with you just a short idea on Hoshana Rabbah.